Dear participants, thank you for standing by and welcome to the DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's first quarter 2019 results, which we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me is Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, CFO and member of the Managing Board. She will elaborate on the results and after that is available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning, so until 8:30 CET. As a reminder, today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand the call over to Geraldine. Geraldine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lieke. Good morning, everyone, and welcome from me as well. Before going into the Q1 2019 results, I have to point out that our Q1 2019 results are reported against a set of prior figures that include a significant additional benefit from an exceptional supply disruption in some of the vitamins that we clearly communicated along all of last year as the temporary vitamin effect. In order to continue to provide as much transparency as possible, we continue to show this separately, calculating growth against the total results, including the special event, as well as the comparison excluding this event. Now, of course, for the perspective of monitoring the progress of our business, the comparison to last year's underlying business is really the only meaningful one. For this reason, in the remainder of the call, I will compare Q1 2019 versus the underlying business as estimated and reported in 2018. One more comment on comparison. Please note that we adopted the new mandatory IFRS 16 standard on lease accounting as from January 2019, whilst the 2018 figures are unchanged. For your convenience, we provide our Q1 2019 numbers, both excluding and including this IFRS 16 effect. Now, having clarified all this, let's start with the financial highlights for the quarter. We're pleased to report a good start to the year with good momentum in nutrition, as well as a resilient performance in materials. Group sales were up 3% in total, 1% organically. Overall, adjusted EBITDA, excluding a 12 million euro positive effect from the adoption of IFRS 16, increased 10%, whilst including IFRS 16, it actually increased 14%. We are pleased with this performance, especially given the challenging comparable period where underlying sales had risen organically double digit in both nutrition and materials. In this quarter, for the first time, we report our new matrix on cash generation, the adjusted net operating free cash flow, which amounted to 60 million in Q1. Given the significant impact of the temporary vitamin effect last year, it is difficult to provide a meaningful comparison for this quarter, but towards the end of the year, we will be able to substantiate our progress on a like-for-like basis. And finally, we reported a total net profit of 196 million, up versus the Q1 2018 of 330 million when correcting for the temporary vitamin effect of 165 million EBITDA following the exceptional disruption in the industry. Now let's look more specifically at the performance of our nutrition and our materials businesses. Overall, nutrition delivered a 3% organic growth, driven by a strong top-line development in human nutrition and health, as well as in personal care and food specialties. This is a very good performance when considering the tough comparable period, which saw a 12% organic growth in the underlying business in Q1 2018. In addition to this organic sales growth, foreign exchange and the consolidation of Andre Pectin contributed a further 3%, leading to a total 6% sales growth. Adjusted EBITDA in nutrition increased 14%, including a 4 million contribution from Andre Pectin and a 7 million from the adoption of IFRS 16. Excluding these two effects, the adjusted EBITDA growth was 10%, reflecting the continued good momentum in nutrition. The adjusted EBITDA margin increased to 20.8%, or 20.4% when excluding IFRS 16. Moving now to our materials businesses. As with nutrition, materials also reported against a challenging comparable period, one in which it delivered an organic sales growth of 11% in Q1 2018, driven by both volume and price. In addition, whilst the market conditions in some of our segments were robust, conditions in some other end markets remained challenging, especially in Asia. Automotive, building and construction, and electronic and electrics experienced continued softness in Q1. Given this context, volumes were down 6%, partly offset by a positive price mix effect and positive foreign exchange, leading to an overall sales being down 3%. Despite the top-line development reflecting the market conditions, our materials businesses were able to maintain the adjusted EBITDA stable through active margin management, some cost savings, currencies, and positive mix effect. This resulted in a 60 basis point margin expansion compared to Q1 2018 at 17.7%. I am pleased to share that we did not only have a good start of the year in terms of our financials, the profit, but we are also making good progress on planet and people. Let me share with you some planet and people highlights for the first quarter. Regarding planet, we set some new science-based reduction targets for our greenhouse gas emissions that have been reviewed and approved by a science-based targets initiative and aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement. We were the first European company in our sector to join the group of almost 180 leading companies with validated science-based targets. And also during the quarter, together with the energy company ENGIE and the Swiss energy provider EWZ, we opened a new green energy plant at our vitamin facility in Sissen in Switzerland, reducing our CO2 emissions by 50,000 tons per year. Regarding the people, with the appointment of our new chief innovation officer, 43% of our executive committee is now female. And with the proposed reappointments of members of the supervisory board, we will have an even more diverse board in terms of gender, nationality, background, knowledge, and experience, including 5 different nationalities and 50% female members. Finally, moving to our outlook. As you have seen in our press release, we have raised our outlook for the year 2019 to DSM now expects to deliver a full year 2019 high single-digit increase in adjusted EBITDA compared to prior underlying adjusted EBITDA, meaning excluding the temporary vitamin effect of €290 million recorded in 2018. This compares with an initial outlook at the start of the year of mid to high single-digit adjusted EBITDA growth. This outlook reflects our confidence in the way the business is performing. We continue to see good business conditions in both animal and human nutrition across species, segments, and regions. In materials, while we are mindful of the soft business conditions and some of the end user markets, we expect to be able to deliver some growth in adjusted EBITDA over the course of 2019. And finally, for the sake of clarity, our guidance excludes the positive impact of IFRS 16, which we estimate at around €45 million for the full year 2019. And with this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star 1 on your telephone. Please go ahead. The first question is from Ms. Ellen Proper, Bloomberg. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, all. I had a question on the outlook. As in the annual report was mentioned, we have set two headline financial targets for the period 2019-2021, and that already set a high single-digit annual percentage increase in the adjusted EBITDA. And I'm aware of the forecast given early this year for a mid to high single digits, but I'm just wondering how that compares to each other.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for your question. So indeed, if we look at the Capital Markets Day last year in June, we announced our strategy going to 2021, and the midterm target is indeed high single-digit EBITDA growth. Now, at the start of the year, due to the limited visibility, particularly around some of the end markets of our materials businesses, we were a little cautious and went for a mid to high single digit for the year 2019. Now, after, looking back to the Q1 results, where nutrition is performing very well, both in animal nutrition and in human nutrition, and looking at the resilience of our materials business that maintained stable earnings, despite some softness in the end market, we're now confident that we can go to the high single-digit EBITDA outlook for 2019 as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
The next question is from Mr. Hans Verbraken, het Financiële Dagblad. Your line is open. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I had, in fact, the same question as the first question. Maybe you can a little bit elaborate why you can choose for a higher outlook for 2019 as a whole on basis on one quarter.
Sure. So the way that we take care of the outlook is, of course, based on our visibility. So at the very start of the year, we needed to see a bit the developments in both nutrition and materials. Now, the main difference now versus 3 months ago is the fact that we are seeing, very good momentum in nutrition. So if I run through it, our human nutrition business, saw good growth in all segments. So we're seeing dietary supplements doing well, we're seeing infant nutrition doing well, food and beverage overall also some positive growth, particularly to our smaller clients and regional clients.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is positive. Animal nutrition, here we have good business conditions, barring in China, where we have the African swine fever, which is still developing. But nonetheless, given our very resilient business model where we can serve all species and all geographies, we believe that we will be able to offset that in the year through an increase in either poultry in China and or actually pork production being imported into China from other regions where we are also very strong. So that has confirmed our momentum in nutrition. And when it comes to our materials businesses, I have to say we have not seen any uptick in the soft markets that we are serving during Q1. So automotive remained pretty soft, particularly in Asia, building and construction as well. And while we are not expecting to see a big uptick here, particularly in Q2, we do feel that over the full year, we're able to generate some earnings growth in materials. Now, to deliver on this outlook, we don't need a big step up in H2, but we need to be able to maintain this resilient earnings pattern that we have achieved in Q1.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, you can still press star 1 on your telephone. The next question is from Mr. Bart Meijer, Reuters. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. You just answered a large part of my question, I think, in your last remarks. But to focus on Asia and the materials a bit more, as you were saying, you're not expecting any uptick in these weaker markets. and to retain your resilient earnings, but still down the line, would not that have any effect? And do you need to take any measures in these markets to maybe improve the situation there?
Yeah. So indeed, what we are have been doing already since the start of the year is be very vigilant. So you know, being in order to maintain our earnings, we had to have very proactive margin management, which has gone well. We are always taking care of our cost base, and that is something that we will continue to be proactive and careful around. And importantly, of course, we also have a positive mix effect, which helps us. So while there's, a lot of news around some of the end markets, such as automotive, it's good to remember that for the total company, automotive accounts for 6% of our sales, and building and construction is about 6%. Which also puts a little bit in perspective. Now, we also have some resilient end markets. For example, Dyneema has been doing very well, particularly in our life protection offering, and that we expect to see continue. We also have, you know, good positioning in fiber optic cables, in connectors, and in those areas, we're also seeing continued good momentum. So to answer your question, you know, is the visibility very good? Not yet. We will, I think, all be, you know, even wiser by the end of Q2. But in this kind of economic climate, we make sure that we are very vigilant in our overall costs and grow the segments that we can continue to perform very well in, even in this economic climate.
Okay, and just to be sure, when you mention Asia, this is particularly China or also other major Asian markets. And is this mainly kind of a macroeconomic story driving in the end your results, or is something else in play as well?
Yeah, so this is very much, indeed, I have to say, from a scale point of view, we're referring primarily here to China. Now, of course, the discussions around trade tariffs creates a lot of uncertainty, and as such, it's not easy to determine how much of the soft market is due for us to a destocking effect versus an end market dynamic. And we will have to see how that develops. But to your question, that is indeed primarily China that we're referring to here.
And then in a large part, these trade discussions that are hampering you?
Well, I have to say that directly impacting us, the trade tariffs have a limited impact. And the reason for that is we don't have many products that flow from China to the U.S., and the majority of our products are actually not subject to tariffs themselves. Now, the whole trade discussions do impact, of course, the overall economic growth and particularly the automotive end segment is, of course, impacted by these kinds of discussions. So we're sort of, we're not seeing an immediate impact on us, but more of a secondary for sectors such as automotive.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for questions, you can still press star one. There are no further questions. Please continue.
Well, if there are no more questions, it's time to wrap things up. Geraldine, would you care to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, thanks, Lieke. So in summary, Q1 was a good start to the year, demonstrating continued underlying momentum, even given the very tough comparable period that we had last year in Q1. Business conditions remain broadly supportive to our plans for the full year, despite the softness that we have seen in some of our materials businesses. And as a result, we feel confident in raising our outlook for the full year to high single-digit adjusted EBITDA growth. And with that, I thank you all for joining the call, and I wish you a very good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you for your participation and have a very nice day.